Our scripture today comes from 1 Peter in the 4th chapter, reading verses 8 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We pray now that we would push the cares of the week aside so that we might have listening ears and open hearts to understand what you would have us this day. In Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So, Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines tough love as love or affectionate concern expressed in a stern or unsentimental manner as through discipline, especially to promote responsible behavior. Now, I'm going to say it's pretty safe to say that we have all experienced tough love in our lives. As a matter of fact, those of us that are parents have given tough love to our children. Our first experience with tough love comes from our parents. And let me tell you, as much as I loved and still love my father, he was the king, the master of tough love. When he had to talk to my brother or I, or in some cases, both of us, he would get so very serious. His dictation would slow down, his voice would drop, and he'd look at you with that serious expression. And he'd use serious words. The second place for those of us that are of a certain age came from our school principals and to a lesser extent, our teachers who tried to correct inappropriate behavior, sometimes leading to the principal getting through to us the only way that was then possible, and that was with the Board of Education. You don't have to raise your hands, but who amongst us has experienced the Board of Education? Twice. We also experience tough love from our spouses. When something happens that we don't agree with or that we think really shouldn't happen, we talk to our spouse. Ollie, we have to have a talk. Truthfully, more than often, it's the other way around, but we won't go into that. Even God himself sometimes needs to exercise tough love to us, his children. And usually this is to get through our thick skulls and our stubborn attitudes. Now, unlike the way that my father practiced tough love, God's tough love is a little bit more subtle. Since God does not have the opportunity to sit us down and to look at us with that serious expression, use that serious tone, use those serious words, he practices tough love in another way. Mostly God's tough love comes in the form of silence. God's tough love sometimes means that he doesn't seem to be very near to us. He doesn't seem to be hearing our prayers. He doesn't seem to be blessing us as much as he has in the past. Now, hopefully we get it through our thick skulls that, hey, maybe something's wrong here, and maybe I need to do a little evaluation of my life. Maybe I actually need to listen to what God is trying to tell me. And there are times when God's tough love comes via an actual person, whether familiar or a stranger, being a vessel of God. Now, I've been thinking about what my last two messages here would be. And two things popped into my mind. One was joy, there's a joy in the journey. And the second was tough love. Now, joy in the journey is going to be next week's sermon topic. And that, the gist of it came quickly and somewhat easily. But I've been wrestling with tough love for this past week. As I have said in the past, I try to be open to what God would have me speak on. And sometimes, you sure about this, God? I asked God that question a lot this week. You sure about this, God? Are you really sure about this, God? Are you really, really sure about this, God? And finally, the answer that I got back was, what are they going to do, fire you? I'm not expecting that everyone is going to agree with everything that I am going to say. I ask that you simply listen and give it thought and consideration. I won't say this in love, which is one of the, I don't like that phrase because that's a, not a good phrase. So today it's going to be tough love for myself, and it's going to be some tough love for First Christian Church of Pulaski. Now, we've been dancing around a fact for close to 3 years now. I don't think any of us really wanted to admit too loud or with too much confidence what was going on. But I think it's time that we say it loud and we say it with certainty. This church is dying, both literally and figuratively. In the 3 years that I have been your pastor, we have had four funerals for church members. Helen Hufford, Irene Turnman, Susan Stanberry, and Dennis Thurman. In that same 3 years, how many new members have we gotten? Zero. We have had some guests that have come. We have some people that attend regularly, I know, in the parking lot, but no one has expressed the desire to join this church. So why not? A couple things. Follow up. I could have done a much, much better job at following up with these people. I could have done a much better job of making them feel welcome, of encouraging them to come back. Likewise, I think that this congregation could have done a better job of helping to follow up with these people. Second, inviting people. I could have done a much better job of getting out into the community, about coming down, going out into the community to grocery stores, restaurants, and whatnot, and inviting people. And likewise, my friends, this congregation could have done a better job of getting out into the community and inviting people to come here to church, talking to neighbors, talking to friends, talking to family in the area, and talking to people that we, the strangers that we would come into contact with when we have been out and about. Now I realize that this is not always the easiest thing to do. And I know that a lot of you are going to say, I just can't do it. There is a theological term for that that was best expressed by Colonel Sherman Potter, the commander of the MASH 4077 horse hockey. How many times have I told you that you've got what it takes to do what God wants you to do? Yes, it's scary. I'm not going to deny that. But think about why we are called to do that. There's been a shift over the years in the way in which a church grows. You see, it used to be that when people would move from town to town, one of the first things that they did was they would go look for a church. I was in a Presbyterian church here. I need to find a Presbyterian church here. I was in church. I need to look around and I need to find a church that I like. Whether it is a certain denomination or not, it's all personal preference. But that model is no longer true. Now, the model is the way that the church grows is by personal contact with people. Not being pushy, because pushy just drives people away. But having that personal contact with people. And sometimes you got to do it twice or three times or God forbid four times. Because let's face it, there is a big barrier that we need to get past nowadays with all of the scandal, with all of the stuff that certain people within the Christian church have done that has been publicly exposed. Now, a little over 3 years ago, when I got the call from Barbara Tuck that y'all wanted to speak to me, we had a Zoom call. And out of the first five questions, I want to highlight two of them. I was asked, what would you do to increase church attendance? What would you do to increase youth attendance? Friends, this has been on our mind for years. Both your mind, minds, and my mind. The bottom line is that when the rubber needed to hit the road, I stayed in park. And this church stayed in park as well. Anything else? In order to grow, a church needs to be active and to have members that are willing to get stuff done. Let's ask ourselves some questions and let's be honest with ourselves as to the answers. Am I willing to do things in the church other than to come in and warm a pew for an hour on Sunday morning? Am I willing to accept responsibility to get things done in the church? Am I willing to accept a leadership role in the church to facilitate getting things done and to take that role seriously and not just be there to fill the position, to sit in cabinet meetings and board meetings and everything else? Am I willing to do what I have been called to do? Now, our passage today is from 1 Peter. And I picked this because it's got a lot of good things in here. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. I want to ask you honestly, do you love the other people in this congregation? Or do you simply tolerate them? Because this is your church and this is where you come. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Let's be honest. There's been a lot of grumbling. I've heard a lot of grumbling. Grumbling that is not healthy in general, and it's also not healthy within a church community. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has been given. I firmly believe that God gives each and every one of us gifts to be used in His service. And I ask you, do you know what your gift is? But more importantly, are you doing anything with it? Or are you just sitting there and let it waste? Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, I agonize over my messages. I agonize over what topics I should bring up and talk about. And I agonize over what language that I should use. Because I am trying so very, very desperately to speak the words, the very words of God. And When I serve, I try to do so with all the strength and all the courage and all the love that I can possibly muster. What about you? Is that the case with you as well? Now, I know probably some of you are probably saying, you know what? That's all well and good, Pastor Tim, but you're leaving us. Indeed, I am. I wish it wasn't like this, but this is the reality that I have to take and face. And this is the reality that this congregation needs to face. Because another thing that we have to say out loud, we've been kicking a can down the road for a while. And I couldn't help but think that some people are like, well, I'm going to kick this can far enough down the road that I'm not going to be around to actually have to deal with it. I know, bad thought. Horrible thought. You can only kick a can so far down the road until you are unable to kick that can any further. That's okay, Pastor. You know, we got time. We got time to turn things around. Doesn't matter we're running a deficit from month to month. We've got, you know, we've got money that we can take and we can take and we can tap into. We got time. There's a phrase I once heard about believing in Jesus Christ that goes like this. The believer that intends to repent at the 11th hour often dies at 10:30. In other words, you need to stop kicking the can down the road, hoping that there's a miraculous thing that will happen with us doing nothing. The thought occurred to me that perhaps that my leaving First Christian Church is part of God's tough love for First Christian. It's just a thought. I don't really know for sure. What I do know is that this church needs to decide what it wants to be. Does it want to be a vibrant church that desires doing the work of God? Or does this church want to be a hospice church that is on life support waiting to die? On February 4th of this year, I preached a sermon on that was called Salvation Service. I encourage you to go to the church's website and go under sermons and look it up, because there's a lot of relevant stuff in there that I think this church needs to consider. Now, you probably don't remember that. You're probably going to remember what I'm going to tell you, but you probably don't remember this. At the end of that sermon, I issued a challenge that I think is essential for the situation in the state that First Christian Church of Pulaski finds itself in. And so I am going to issue it again. And while you might disagree with it, I hope that you listen. I hope that you consider it. The challenge is this: ask your Savior if getting off your ass is right for you. How this church decides to answer that challenge is going to determine the very future of this church. All that I ask is that you listen and that you consider the words that I have said. Amen.